This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
We just came back from a few days taking the kids away to Stillby to see their grandparents. And it was really good for us, really refreshing. It was really a time of rest, and I just thought that the last week while Bernie is here, I can take a break, because Bernie's going to be gone soon, and then I can't take a break. But then Theo is here, so I can take a break next week again. I'm going to share, I feel prompted, and a bit of a freedom to share, very personal this morning. I usually don't preach the words I receive in my inner room. You know, it's my words, my time with God. But every now and then I feel prompted to share what God is doing. And it's moments like this that this won't be the most eloquent sermon. But it's going to be, I'm going to share what God has been talking to me about and maybe sharing what I'm talking to God about. So it's going to be a bit personal this morning. And for that reason, I'm going to keep it short. So that I don't share too much. But this morning, I want to talk about your feeling. How do you feel being celebrated, being loved? So maybe the next slide. 2 weeks ago, I had my birthday. I think it was 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, I had my birthday. And I, like many other people that I know, but I generally don't like too much attention on me. It's fine to speak like this because you have to listen and then I leave. But when I'm the center of attention, of praise, I am really uncomfortable. So birthdays, I'm not really good at birthdays. It's a bit of a confession. And so 2 weeks ago, the office staff has cultivated a culture of coming together on close to someone's birthday and surprising them with a birthday. Just a breakfast or something. And so 2 weeks ago on a Monday, I pitched here. And on the way there, we received a message from Nicole. And Nicole said, well, she, why don't we come to her house for breakfast this morning? We can have the staff meeting on a Monday at her house. And I'm usually a bit early, so I thought, okay, let me just pick up Raymond on the way. So I stopped here, and as I parked my car here and put down my laptop in the office, I saw that everyone's kids were here. So then I realized, okay, everyone's kids are here, so they're all there already at the house. So I'm the only one not at the house. So I drove there. I had such an uncomfortable feeling. It's one of those, and I just said to God, so luckily the traffic was disastrous, all 5 kilometers to her house, 3 kilometers. And I just said, God, I'm so uncomfortable. I don't want to be doted on this. I don't want to be praised this morning. I don't want to be celebrated this morning. I don't want to listen to what people say about me this morning. I'm not, and I was surprised at the strong feelings that I had on the way there. They don't know this yet, so this is news to them as well. So I went and I just had a time of driving and I prayed to God and I figured out, Danki Magriet. And I just said to God, I'm really uncomfortable with this. And I wondered, why am I so uncomfortable? And this was the words that came out of my mouth. I said, well, I don't particularly feel good about myself at the moment. I don't particularly feel successful as a leader, as the staff's leader. I don't particularly feel confident and strong at the moment. I don't feel that at the moment. The year's been up and down in Demacor, and there's lots of moves and stuff, and I don't feel I handled everything well. And I don't feel as though I'm worthy of praise. I don't feel good enough to be praised by my staff. So I don't feel that their words are sincere. I don't even know what they're going to say. But I don't feel... So if I came there and they said, yes, Ross, you suck, then maybe I would have taken it. But they didn't say that. So on the way there, I'm praying, and I just said, God, I don't feel good enough as a leader at the moment. And I generally have a very healthy confidence. I have one or two friends that fell in the magic potion of, like, asterisk and oblique of confidence when they were young, and they never, ever need another praise word. They shouldn't get any others. They good... I'm not there really, but I've got a really healthy confidence. So I just felt, and I said, God, I don't know. I don't want to hear good things about myself because I don't believe good things about myself at the moment. I don't really feel as though I'm making it. I don't feel good enough. So that was the, and then I prayed and I just heard the Lord say to me, receive my praise this morning. So I went in there and I prayed and I settled it and I just received, and it was the most beautiful morning ever. They gave me the most thoughtful gift ever. Anyway, they get me. Anyway, Anahit and the staff get me. Anyway, so 2 days later was my birthday, only on a Wednesday. And as the calendar forced us, we had a great small groups leaders meeting and a great grow group leader meeting. All the, just here for the first time since lockdown, we had a meeting together and we had a bit of eat and a meet together. And it fell on my birthday. So actually, it would have been one of two places where we just formally greet Bernie as a small group leaders and say hello and just share vision of where we're going to. It would have been over 2 weeks, but we decided let's get them all together at once. But now it was my birthday. So immediately it was my birthday. So Theo made me so uncomfortable at the beginning when I wanted to just say, let's start with the meeting. And it was one of those, I had to listen to good things about myself for a while. And I was so uncomfortable. I was really uncomfortable because I struggled to believe it at the moment. And then, so I was praying through this and I made an appointment to pray with someone about this because I thought, okay, Ross, this is not good. Why so harsh on yourself now? And I, in reflection and prayer, I thought, well, this is not the first time I've been so harsh on myself. And then the Monday night reflection service, I was bowled over by God. So for those of you who haven't been at a reflection service, it's really worthwhile to come and just sit in the presence of God. So we went, and I printed out Ephesians chapter 1. It was, I just felt prompted by the Lord, we should reflect on that portion, the middle bit of Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm going to read it with you now, and I'm going to show you what happened to me in that meeting. Ephesians chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for the adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has made us acceptable in the beloved. He has made us acceptable in the beloved. In him, we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. In him, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him also, when you heard of the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, was sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Maybe just on the next slide. Just like it, so in this time together, so we prayed and we thought, and I just did a cognitive, this is what the text says, we have been blessed, chosen, loved, predestined, adopted, made acceptable, redeemed, forgiven, have received wisdom and insight, grand inheritance, we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit, and he is our guarantee of, this is just a down payment of what is to come, this is just a small bit of what is going to come. And I looked at that, and I thought, wow, I know this off by heart. I know this text out of my head. And according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. And as I read that word lavished, I was so uncomfortable. That same birthday celebration thing. I was so uncomfortable with the idea that God would lavish his grace upon me. You know, my head, I'm quite fine with being saved, cleansed, set free, empowered to serve God. But the idea of me sitting down and God with all his hosts lavishing on me. The word lavishing, you can just show the next slide. For those of you Afrikaans, I think you know what it means. It means everything that is extra, excess, exuberance, elaborance, abundance, superfluous, opulence, riches, over the top, too much, grand generosity, just too much. This is like unlimited. It's like uninhibited outpouring of himself on me. And I was so struck by my discomfort with that feeling. I was so struck by the fact that in my head, I know this. I can quote it and I have taught it. But in that moment with God, again, just the Monday, the Wednesday, and the next Monday, I was just confronted with the idea that I'm really uncomfortable with praise, and especially from God who knows everything, because God knows that I don't make it all the time. Now, for those of you who don't know me, I don't have any hidden sins. I don't watch porn. I don't have any shameful stuff that is the reason for my discomfort. It's not as though I have secret sins or stuff like that. It's not as though I'm, any violent. I'm nothing of those things, perverse things. But just the fact that I, in my heart of hearts, I am uncomfortable with the idea of God lavishing himself over me. And the feelings, maybe you can just show the feelings just two slides later. Thank you. If you can read that, it's very, very faint. I'm so sorry. But looking at the word and just praying through it, I recognize that when I look at that, when I create an image, when I picture God lavishing himself on me, I really feel uncomfortable. I feel as though this is improper because he should know better. He should know better. He knows when I fail. He knows when I don't make it. I feel disappointed at myself frequently. And at that idea, when God lavishes himself, I'm going, oh, God, I wish I was better. You know, I wish I could do more for you. I wish I could just, do better for you. I looked at it and I just felt, in a sense, disgusted at myself because, disappointed with myself for not being better, not being more, not being more. And even as I say this, I recognize that it's obviously wrong because the whole domain in my head, I think the realization was I discovered that I still live in a performance mentality, which is our culture's mentality. I recognize I struggle to receive praise because I have not earned it. I have not been good enough in my head to receive all these things from God. I wonder how many of you also struggle with birthdays. I wonder how many of you also struggle with the fact that people around you, when they praise you, you shrug it off and you move away because honestly, you just don't think that you deserve it. You just don't think that you're that good. You just don't think that you're that good. We make it off as humility, but in reality, I was just very uncomfortable with the idea that God would lavish himself on me and that people would lavish themselves on me, that people would give me a generous praise and generous things because in my heart of hearts, I just don't think that I deserve that and I should earn it. Now, this idea doesn't obviously come from the sky. I'm not the only person who struggles with this. That's why so much of the New Testament is written on this whole context. And if you read Ephesians and Colossians, if you read Romans, you'll see that the bulk of the thing is God's grace. The religion of our world, the culture of our world, is everything about performance. I mean, who are the people, if you picture lavish praise, if you picture opulent, if you picture scenes of people receiving generous praise, dances, banquets, who are those people? It's the VIPs of our world. It's the celebrities, those that are celebrated, the celebrities in our world who have earned it through their performance and gifts and some sneakiness sometimes to the top of our society because they have earned the right to be celebrated. And that's why it's proper for everyone else to praise. That's why it's proper to receive praise. Our culture is a culture of celebration. And it's not as though, I just filtered three sentences in my head. My wife has taught me through the years to filter before I speak, and she's sitting right here, so thank you, Magriet. Anyway, I derailed myself there. But our culture is this type of culture. I mean, we rarely ever get praised for just doing the right things. We get attention when we do the wrong things or when we don't do enough. That's the culture in which we're raised. The culture in which we're raised always says, well, you could have done better. You should have done more. We expect more of you. That is the general culture in which we live. I mean, we always smile. Andy Stanley's got this beautiful, beautiful example where he speaks about him still writing a check every month to his house bond. And he says he never ever gets praise or a phone call to say, thank you so much. We again received your payment. We are so glad that you gave your payment. We're so proud of you. You're amazing. Here are two gifts for you and your kids because we know that you are such a good client of ours and we love you. He says, no, we never get that. He says, but let me skip a payment and I'll get a letter. Let me skip one or two or three payments and I'd even get a phone call from the bank manager. You know, skip another one, I'll get a visit from the bank. Because our culture generally gives attention and words when we miss it. That is the culture of the world. So here I was confronted with this. It's a long introduction and then a very short conclusion. But I was confronted with the idea that I, in particular, like my culture, but I in particular, am very uncomfortable with the idea of God lavishing himself. I read it in the Bible. I know it in my head. But I don't feel lavishable, if that's a word. I don't feel celebratable by God. Because I, like the rest of the people in my culture, have been trained and conditioned that God will be pleased with you if you do more. I understand that I don't need to earn my salvation. I understand that my performance is not going to get me into heaven. I get that part of the gospel. That's like, I feel that, I get that. I understand the concept of forgiveness from God. But the thing that gets me is, I don't feel as though God lavishes himself on me because I'm his son. Because for doing nothing. That he thoroughly enjoys me and loves me for who I am. And that was the wrestle that I had to pray through. He started working on. And in doing that, I had a few moments with God over the last 2 weeks, a few profound moments. Let me just, I'll get back to Ephesians now. But if you want to open your Bible, open just your heart to the text behind you, or maybe the Bible, to the section from Romans chapter 5. Now, the whole chapter is amazing on this. But this, I just want you to receive this and stand still at it. And just get the idea of what God says cognitively, before we open our hearts, just cognitively, what does this text say? For while we were still helpless, at the appropriate time, at the right time, at God's timing, Kairos moment, Christ died for the ungodly. It's always amazing to me. Christ doesn't die for godly people or good people. Christ only saves ungodly people. Christ never ever saves good people. Only those who recognize that they are not like God. Christ died for the ungodly, but God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. How much more then, since we have now been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath to come? A beautiful text, and you can see the contrast that Paul paints here. Paul says that people, Jesus does not save, God does not respond to, God does not reach out to people who think that they are good enough. He doesn't. God cannot save everyone who doesn't think that they need to be saved. God only saves people who recognize that they are so far away from God and really in need of his grace. God's hearts respond to that, and that's why Jesus came. But he says he did this when we were at our utmost worst. He thoroughly poured out his fullness of his love and his salvation to us in the moment when we were at our worst, the moment when we have not even recognized our need for his salvation. At that moment, he provided for us. The moment when we were still living in our sins, like Colossians and Ephesians says, we're still dead in our trespasses and our sins, still living like the heathens do. He says, at that moment, we were far away from him. That is when Christ died for us. And the moment when we are at our worst, he demonstrated the degree of his love for us, the magnitude of his love, of his affection for us. And that's when he poured himself out to us, in the moment when we were at our worst and rebelling against him. And then he says, but how much more now? How much more now that you've responded to God's grace? How much more now, now that you have been justified by his blood? Legal term. Justified is a very good term for us at this moment. Because the word justified means that he finds no wrong in me. It's a legal term. Stand before the judge. The judge looks at Ross and he says, well, Ross, I look at you, and to be honest, there is nothing wrong in you. Absolutely nothing wrong. You are absolutely perfect, absolutely blameless, absolutely good. And these were the words that I had to wrestle with the Lord for, because in my head I know that, you know, he doesn't look at my sin, but then he still doesn't see. And then I classify my sins as though transgressions from just being human and missing it at times. But the point is, the Bible makes no distinction between those two. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, the Romans says. But the gift of God in Christ Jesus is given to us in full salvation, says Romans 3. So he says, Ross, I look at you and I find absolute pleasure in you because you are perfect as you ought to be in Christ Jesus. The gift of justification, the gift of me declaring that you are absolutely right. So me resisting his praise because I don't feel good enough is absolutely nonsense. Because the Bible says, according to the riches of his grace, what does the text say that we're looking at the moment? According to the riches of his grace, he has redeemed us and forgiven all our transgressions, and therefore lavishing the fullness of the riches of his grace upon us. Because he finds nothing wrong in us. Lavishing. It's not sparingly. It's not as though he's limited. It's not as though he's stingy. It's not as though he bailed me out. When was it? 1992, the 21st of February. Not as though he bailed me out then, and then I had to make it on my own. He cleansed all, but the Bible says that he forgiven all my transgressions according to the richness of his grace. So it's not as though there's a moment where I was accepted by God and then he became disappointed with me. That's the reality of how I feel, you know. I had the idea, because of our culture and because of, you know, just the culture in which I was brought out, that God is constantly disappointed because I'm not performing well. I should do better. But the reality is, God is not like the God of this world, who's a slave driver. According to the richness of his grace, he has redeemed me and forgiven all past, present, and future transgressions. And he declared us absolutely blameless in his sight. Absolutely blameless. According to the richness of his grace, he lavished on us. So now, Ross, how much more, since you've been justified by the blood, will you be saved from the wrath of God? He's not angry at you, he's not disappointed at you, and he never was. And that's a beautiful, beautiful word. I think I'm gonna draw to a close. Let me read Ephesians 2, this comparison that he has there. And I want you to open up your hearts again. Maybe you've received Christ long time ago and have been walking with him. But maybe the season that we all went through, you're also so fully aware of the limitations of your being at this moment, as I was. Maybe you haven't always felt like this, but maybe you feel like this at the moment, that, wow, I'm not on top of things anymore. I'm losing it and my cracks are showing. I want you to listen to what Paul writes here to the Ephesian church. Therefore, remember that you were once Gentiles, far away from God, pagans, called the uncircumcision. At that time, separated from Christ, alienated from a commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having, listen to this dreaded word, you can go, da, 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 no hope, and without God in this world. What a hopeless situation. But now in Christ Jesus, you once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace. And he has reconciled us to God in one body through the cross. Through him we have access in the Spirit to God, so that you are no longer strangers or aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household, members of God's family. Look at the amazing contrast, though. Alienated, separated, strangers, having no hope, far away from God, but he has brought us near. He himself reconciled us to God, made peace with us, with God. We have access in the Spirit to God, no longer strangers, aliens, but fellow citizens with the saints of the members of the household of God. Look at the richness of the grace which he has for us, the richness of his mercy. I want to ask you this morning, when you think of God this morning standing before you and lavishing the fullness of himself in all the praise and all the love and all the affection for you, how does it sit with your heart? Do you think it is appropriate for you to receive that or not? Do you think, I'm going to use the words, worthy to receive that from God? Do you feel that it's fitting and right for God to do that for you? Or do you also have a bit of resistance to that? Because what the Bible says here is that God, in the fullness of his grace, saved you at your worst, declared you absolutely just, blameless, fitting, right, perfect in his sight, reconciled you to himself. You were far away, have been brought near to God. He himself made peace between you and the Father. He himself is our peace once and for all. The access that we have, and through the Spirit, he said, come, let's have fellowship with God. God is pleased with you, that he loves you, receives you. There's no earning. It's nothing like that. There's no special class. We're all households, part of God's family, all citizens with him, of him in grace. I'm going to share a prayer that one of my prayer times in the last week came up. And I'm going to invite you to pray it with me this morning, because I recognize that, obviously, you've been listening to me, that there's an identity issue with me in this regard. Somewhere, the lie of our culture found root in my heart. It says that I'm not good enough for God to enjoy. That's the lie that crept in my head. I'm not good enough for God to enjoy. I disappoint God. I disappoint others. I disappoint people around me. I should work a bit more. I should do it a bit more. And in prayer, I recognize that, God, you need to heal my identity. And I went to a few people in the Bible. I went to Gideon, I went to Jephthah, I went to a few people. But then the Lord brought the prayer of Jabez again over my heart. And it's a prayer that we studied long time ago and that we know of by heart. Just this one line, a man in the genealogy who caused his mom with his brothers, but caused his mom great pain during her birth. And the mom gave him this name, cursed him with this name, and says, I will forever, when I look at you, call you Jabez, because you called me pain. You caused me pain. And forever, wherever this boy went, he always recognized that, God, I am a pain. What I do is the first thing I came into this world, I caused pain to my mom, and I will forever cause pain. And he had a wrestle with God, and he prayed to God, God, will you change my destiny? Will he change my legacy? Will he change me forever so that I will not be someone who will be known as someone who causes pain? Will you not limit my life in such a way that I'm ostracized and pushed aside because I'm so afraid that I will cause pain again? And this caught my attention, that I'll be so afraid that I might disappoint people or you again. God, will you come and do this thing in my heart, that you will save me from this idea, this curse, that I disappoint people, let people down, that I'm not good enough for people or for you. Will you help me to live in such a way that I can confidently enjoy, that my life will be larger, unlimited, because I actually truly believe and live from my heart with the conviction that people's expectations are people's expectations, but I'm okay with myself. There will always be people disappointed with me. But God, in the richness of his grace, only has goodness towards me. Will he discipline me when I'm rebellious? Absolutely. Will he allow me the gift to enjoy the consequences of my decisions, which is sometimes painful? Absolutely, because he's a good father. Will he always love me and always have good plans for me, for hope and future? That is true. God, will you help me to receive that truth? Will you help me to receive this? So I want to pray this prayer. I want to ask you, as the people are making ready, just making ready to hand out the communion, don't hand it out yet. I want to pray this prayer. And I'm going to pray it slowly. And I want you to sit in such a way, if you want to participate in this prayer, that you actually do it. And you're welcome to pray with me in the words. I'm going to pray it slowly. Listen to this prayer that he prayed. Just listen first. He prayed that God will do good to him, bless him. He hasn't earned it, but will he do good to me, God? Will you do good to me? Will you bless me? Will you give me an identity? Will you give me a legacy? And this is in particular what I'm asking. God, will you enlarge my influence? Will you enlarge my borders? Will you enlarge my life? God, will you unlimit me in the way in which I live? God, will you extend my influence, my scope of being? God, will you give me a greater influence because I've been shut out from my mom's goodness? I have no inheritance. Will you give me a greater inheritance in life, God? A greater place to have power and influence. God, I don't want to do it by myself. Will your hand be upon me? People, let people down that I'm not good enough for people or for you. Will you help me to live in such a way that I can confidently enjoy, that my life will be larger, unlimited, because I actually truly believe and live from my heart with the conviction that people's expectations are people's expectations, but I'm okay with myself. There will always be people disappointed with me. But God, in the richness of his grace, only has goodness towards me. Will he discipline me when I'm rebellious? Absolutely. Will he allow me the gift to enjoy the consequences of my decisions, which is sometimes painful? Absolutely, because he's a good father. Will he always love me and always have good plans for me, for a hope and future? That is true. God, will you help me to receive that truth? Will you help me to receive this? So I want to pray this prayer. I want to ask you, as the people are making ready, just making ready to hand out the communion, don't hand it out yet. I want to pray this prayer. And I'm going to pray it slowly. And I want you to sit in such a way, if you want to participate in this prayer, that you actually do it. And you're welcome to pray with me in the words. I'm going to pray it slowly. Listen to this prayer that he prayed. Just listen first. He prayed that God will do good to him, bless him. He hasn't earned it, but will he do good to me, God? Will you do good to me? Will you bless me? Will you give me an identity? Will you give me a legacy? And this is in particular what I'm asking. God, will you enlarge my influence? Will you enlarge my borders? Will you enlarge my life? God, will you unlimit me in the way in which I live? God, will you extend my influence, my scope of being? God, will you give me a greater influence because I've been shut out from my mom's goodness? I have no inheritance. Will you give me a greater inheritance in life, God? A greater place to have power and influence. God, I don't want to do it by myself. Will your hand be upon me? May I experience your power and your presence in every scope of my life? Even when I feel I haven't earned it, will you do that for me? God, will you protect me from harm? Because God, I have experienced harm a lot in this rejection that I've received. Will you shield me from harm, God? And I pray, God, will you help me? Will you prevent me from living out my cursed identity of bringing pain to people? And maybe, like me, your prayer, that last line is rather, God, will you bless me in such a way, God, that I can fearlessly live, not fearing that I disappoint people all the time? Will you deliver me from the enslavement of the lie that says, I'm not good enough, I can do better, I can do more? And that's the lie. So I'm going to pray. Father, like Jabez this morning, God, I pray, we pray, God, that you would bless us, God. that you'd bless us indeed, God, that you'd speak over us and that you'd be with us, God, in such a way that you will bless us and do us good, God. Will you empower us to life? Will you speak over us words of affirmation and goodness? Will you say what we are, and will you help us to receive what you say to us in Jesus' name? God, I pray that you will enlarge our borders, our influence, God. Help us break free, God, from this limited existence, God, of always fearing disappointing, always fearing, God, always living inhibited, always fearing looking over our shoulders, God. What are we missing? What have we missed? Who will we fail? What have we failed? Where could we do better, God? Will you deliver us from that and enlarge the scope of our influence, God? Give us a freedom, Lord, to live in this world that you've given to us freely, God. But will you give us power, Lord, to have a greater influence in the world where we are, in the relationships, and the people around us, God, and the environment where we live, God? Will you empower us to live larger, bigger, with greater influence, God? I pray, Father, that your hand be upon us, God. I pray, God, that we will experience your presence, your nearness, your protection, God, but also your empowerment, God, to subdue the earth, to keep it, and to preserve it, God, and to cultivate what we have, God. Will you give us, would your hand be upon us, that we have a greater influence for your sake, that your kingdom may come through us in a greater way, God? We pray, God, in Jesus' name, that you'll keep us from harm. Keep us, God, from experiencing pain, God. Keep us from experiencing, God, disappointments and failures, God. Will you deliver us from the pain of the curse that says that we are not enough, in Jesus' name? And Lord, I pray that you'll bless us to not bring pain, God, to not live in the cursed identity, God, that we have. Will you prevent us, God, from being harsh on ourselves and being harsh on others around us, God? Will you deliver us, God, from the curse in this world that says that we're not good enough, that we should perform for more? Will you bless us, God, that we can be generous as you've been generous to us? Thank you, Father, for the richness of your grace, which you've poured out in Christ Jesus, lavishly upon us, God. Thank you for your generosity, God. Thank you for not just saving us from this curse of sin, God, and from sin itself. Thank you for not just making a way for us to go to heaven, God, but thank you, Lord, for the fullness of your grace which you've poured on us, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.